It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Some House Republicans on Capitol Hill scrutinize ESG investing principles, and that stands for environmental, social, and governance. We examine the impact of this type of investing and the political backlash against the strategy. You can call in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Author James Surowiecki is a contributing writer for The Atlantic and Fast Company. James, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So ESG, environmental, social, and governance investing under fire from conservatives as, quote, woke capitalism. And you say this investing is mostly a sham. What's problematic about these types of investment funds?
Well, I think the best way to think about it is that most ESG funds and ESG investing generally doesn't actually do what its sort of label says it does, and in a way what kind of Republicans are worried about. So I think the assumption is, quite reasonably, given the name, that ESG investing is all about identifying companies that are doing an excellent job at, say, you know, basically reducing carbon emissions in the case of the environment, or maybe doing an excellent job on diversity if you think about the social. And the reality instead is that partly because of the way in which these things are measured and partly because of the way the industry works, they don't actually are not actually identifying those kinds of companies. And so the reality is that I think it's, for the most part, just a pretty good marketing technique by the investment industry.
In general, how transparent are companies about their ESG practices?
They're more transparent than they used to be. And one of the things that's a little odd about ESG is that the name kind of clumps together three things that are, you know, loosely connected at best, and in some cases have nothing to do with each other. So environmental, you know, that's pretty clear. You would think it would be reduction of emissions.
Greenhouse gases,
how clean, you know, your water is, et cetera. Social generally is assumed to have something to do with diversity. And then there's governance, which has to do with basically how rigorous are your internal operations so that, say, the CEO doesn't have too much power and the like. So those things are all three very different things.
And governance, to me, is the sticky one because, you know, that leading, you know, that involving so many different things that, you know, that can be less than transparent, like leadership and oversight and accountability and board diversity, financial reporting. That's, like you said, that's a wide area in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a wide area in and of itself. And in some ways, I would actually say that governance is probably the one that actually is the best established because it's been around the longest. It's been the one that people have been interested in and concerned about the longest. So people have been concerned for a long time about, you know, you want companies that have boards of directors, like you said, are diverse, boards of directors that are not controlled by the CEO and the like. But you could have a company that is very good at governance, but also very bad on environmental issues and not great on social issues. And because a lot of these ESG ratings lump together the three things into kind of one number, you may end up with a company that is not great on environment, but that happens to be great on governance. And so you end up buying it and it's not actually accomplishing what you want it to accomplish. So I think the irony here, and this is kind of what this article I wrote for The Atlantic was about, is Republicans are really portraying ESG investing as you said, kind of the vehicle, the Trojan horse by which woke capitalism is invading corporate America. And beyond that, they're really describing it as a really profound threat. I mean, back in March, 19 Republican governors issued a statement that literally called ESG a direct threat to the American economy, individual freedom, and our way of life. And the reality is that I think that's just an incredible overstatement of ESG's influence and its actual effect on what corporations are doing.
talking about investing, ESG, and conservatives calling it woke capitalism. James Surowiecki, contributing writer for The Atlantic and Fast Company. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts at 800-642-1234. So, James, why are conservatives concerned about socially conscious investing or corporate management practices?
I think the main reason is that they don't really care about governance. I think the main reason is that, you know, they're very concerned about kind of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they see ESG investing as putting pressure on companies to diversify their, not just their workforces, but also their management teams and the like. And then there's also an important strain of conservatism that's obviously very skeptical of any measures to deal with climate change. And so they are, you know, essentially against or frustrated by the idea that investors might be putting pressure on companies to do something about the environment and about greenhouse gases in particular. I think one of the ironies of this, of course, is that ESG investing is actually, in theory, a way for capitalism to kind of deal with these social problems without government interference, which normally you would think that would be something, you know, Republicans would be in favor of. You know, if companies are making changes in response to pressure from investors, that is essentially capitalism in some sense at work. But I think the reality is that it has become a surprisingly, I don't know if effective is the right word. It's become a surprisingly powerful catchphrase on the right. I mean, really, I think, you know, if 5 years ago you had said, you know, ESG is going to become this you know, bête noire for the right wing, you'd say, what? Like, why do they care? But it really has. It's just become a kind of catchphrase that they can use to get applause. And I think that that's mostly what it's doing for them.
What did you make of BlackRock CEO Larry Fink at the Aspen Ideas Festival saying, you know, I'm not going to use the word ESG because it's been misused by the far left and the far right?
Yeah. So Larry Fink is has really been the kind of touchstone for this stuff on the positive side. So he's the CEO of BlackRock, which is you know, one of the two largest investment firms in the world, and or at least in the United States. And he has been in the past a big advocate of ESG. A few years ago, he actually talked about, you know, how it was reshaping corporate policy. And he actually said, to get to the point I just made, you know, he said, you know, this is going to basically get rid of the need for government regulation on a lot of these things. And so as a result, he has become the villain for the right. I mean, it's amazing when you go online or you read articles or listen to speeches, how often Larry Fink's name gets mentioned as this kind of sinister puppet master who's trying to remake corporate America. And so what he, I think, has realized is that continuing to talk about ESG, at least using that acronym, is no longer useful, that in fact, it's probably actively harmful. And so, yeah, I mean, I think in BlackRock's most recent letter to investors, the phrase did not appear. And as you said, when he talked at Aspen recently, he basically said, I'm not going to use it anymore because it really has become this kind of incredibly polarizing issue politically. Mm-hmm. So I think that represents a kind of sea change, I think. Now, how that will translate into, I don't think ESG investing is going away. Because I think it is pretty well established at this point, and it's somewhat lucrative for investment firms. But I do think you're going to hear people talking less about it.
Finance journalist James Surowiecki, our guide to the tensions around do-good, socially conscious investing. And you can be part of this discussion at any point about what responsible investing means to you. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore how Wall Street and investors incorporate climate and social goals as part of their strategy and what to think about the political stir around environmental, social, and governance goals, or ESG investing. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Business journalist and author James Surowiecki is here. James, can you step back for a moment and look big picture? Can socially conscious investing be a force for good?
Yeah, I think one way to try to think about it is to actually think about the history of what's called socially responsible investing. And that's really where ESG comes out of. And the origins of it date back to like the 1970s. When you had investors, a lot of them affiliated with churches and other nonprofits, who basically said, look, at the very least, we want our money not to be going to companies that are doing things that we think are actively bad. Hmm. And so socially responsible investing in its origins was really about not investing in weapons manufacturers and tobacco companies and maybe, you know, alcohol sellers and the like.
Sin stocks.
Yeah, exactly. And then over time, and then in the 1980s, it was really became associated in a lot of ways with apartheid and with the anti-apartheid movement. And the idea was that I do not want to be investing in stocks in companies that are in South Africa, that are still doing business in South Africa. So it was about, you know, it was part of the divestment movement. What I think happened over the last, say, 30 years was a new idea emerged. And the idea was that you could not only not invest in sort of, let's call them bad companies, but you could also pick good companies, companies that were doing active good, and companies that were doing a really excellent job, say, of reducing greenhouse gas emissions or whatever it is. And so I think in theory, there's no reason why that can't be effective. Certainly, I think the negative part, you know, is in terms of pulling your money out, you know, that makes sense from on a personal level. I think the big challenge is trying to figure out whether investment flows, so as to say, you know, whether money goes into or out of stocks, actually ends up having any material impact on what companies do. And there, I think the evidence is not very strong that it has that great an impact. So I think it's true that CEOs do respond to pressure from investors. And so, you know, if you have big investors saying, look, we want you to do something about reducing your greenhouse gas emission risk or whatever it is, that probably has some effect on the margins. But you know, the core reality of, say, a fossil fuel company or a tobacco company is that it's very hard to get them to change their businesses. And so I think in that sense, my general view of it is that most socially responsible investing is maybe good for the individual investor who doesn't want to be putting their money in or reaping profits from bad things. I think its overall effect is probably much more muted than we would hope it would be.
Are there universal ESG metric standards, or, you know, how are companies compared or rated? Yeah. How do you police this space?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that also speaks to one of the big problems with ESG investing, which is that the way it really works is that there are five or six essentially ESG rating firms. They're sort of similar to the Moody's and S&P, which, you know, rate bonds, corporate bonds and government bonds. And in fact, S&P has a ESG ratings firm. And so they come up with these ratings, and then, you know, the various investment funds essentially use those ratings to build their portfolios in one form or another. And I think the two big problems are, one, the ratings often don't measure what you think they're measuring. So in the case of the environment, a good environmental rating often doesn't mean you're doing a great job necessarily for the environment. It really means you're doing a great job of reducing the risk that environmental problems might cause to your bottom line. So one of the very weird things is if you look at ESG funds, you will sometimes see stocks like Exxon or McDonald's in there, which, if you know about climate change, you're like, okay, that seems a little strange.
That seems
These are seen
contrary.
as environmental pioneers. So that's one of the problems. The other problem is that there is not really much agreement among the rating agencies as to whether a company is a good performer or a bad performer. There's quite a lot of divergence of ratings. So, you'll look at one rating agency and it'll have Tesla as the best company, a car company on in the environment, and the another one, and this is literally true, will have it down at the bottom. And so, to some degree, it just happens to be whatever investment fund you're buying and whatever rating agency they happen to rely on, will determine whether you're buying a stock or not, and it has nothing necessarily to do with the truth of it. And beyond that, there's even evidence that within the agencies, there's quite a bit of divergence among different raters. So it's much less systematic than we would like it to be, I think. And there is no government, ESG supervisory body. So it really is just kind of left up to these rating agencies.
James, I'm going to reintroduce you here for just a moment. James Surowiecki with us, contributing writer for The Atlantic and Fast Company, as we look at the outlook on these responsible environmental, social, and governance investing and the fraught political environment around that. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Steve is here from Sun Prairie. Steve, what would you like to bring up?
Yeah, I mean, the guest kind of touched on it. You have audit firms that use generally accepted auditing standards to audit, how companies are following GAAP, which are generally accepted accounting principles. And those principles are argued in over how to report certain things. So what's happening is a lot of CPA firms are really pushing this because they've seen their revenues decrease and consolidation in the market. And this is another way to have a revenue stream for CPA firms to be able to increase their compliance revenue.
Steve, thank you. What do you see with that insights and pulling in accounting firms?
Well, it is interesting. I mean, that is another vehicle that you can imagine as a source of revenue, basically as a way of kind of auditing essentially ESG performance, governance performance, and the like. I mean, one point I think is important to make about all this is that, look, it's certainly possible if you look at the kinds of funds, your typical investment firm will offer, you can buy funds that are pretty straightforward, ESG funds, they're things that'll basically be like fossil fuel free or whatever. And so, if that makes you feel better about your investing, it seems totally fine. The one thing you have to look out for as an individual investor, and I think it's important to make this point, is that these funds often come with higher fees and have a higher load than a typical index fund, right? Which is obviously most individual investors should just be an index fund. So they come with a higher fee. They come with higher fees, which is one of the reasons why investment firms like them. And so I think as an individual investor, you just need to be aware of that, that that's part of what you're essentially doing is you're essentially paying for it. Now, the promise of ESG was or has been that it can actually help you outperform the market. But the evidence on that is pretty slim. In fact, I think it's probably not reliable. And so I just think, you need to be aware as an individual investor, if you want to do this kind of investing, it's going to cost you, basically, I think, is the reality.
We only have about 30 seconds left, but can an investor truly understand the impact of their portfolio, their portfolio's true impact?
No, I think not. I mean, I think that's why I think like the best kind of ESG funds to invest in are actually the ones that go back to those early origins of socially responsible investing, where you're just not investing in companies you don't want to be reaping profits from. I think that's probably the safest and in a way the most effective form of ESG investing.
James, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
James Surowiecki is a contributing writer for The Atlantic and Fast Company, wrote the book The Wisdom of Crowds. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.